Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Bar Lines, continuing the Predators discussion, and we bring in our man Greg Wyshynski now from ESPN. And, of course, Greg always, he never disappoints me, because when he's coming on the show, he has an article that matches up with what we want to talk about. the shocking performances so far, and under shockingly bad Steven Stamkos, 4 points in 18 games this year for the Predators. Greg, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, it's not often that one of the best goal scorers in NHL history is on track for 14 goals this early in the season, but here we are with Stamkos. So the Predators came through New York on Monday. I got a chance to talk to a bunch of them, including Stammer, and I was struck by how many of the veterans are still really hoping to turn this thing around. They have a lot of pride. They're really hopeful that by the end of November, things have changed in a different direction. And then, of course, they go out and lose the way they did to the Rangers. But Stamkos in particular talked about how, you know, he's still hopeful, that he hasn't had a discussion yet with Barry Trotz about his future, and that they're all just, you know, they're trying to ignore the clock ticking in the corner of the room about where these veterans may end up by the trade deadline if things don't turn around.
Here's the thing, and look, we've been talking for a long time, you and I, and I'm usually the last to get to, you got to fire the coach. But I just look at this situation, and yes, Barry Trotz deserves some blame. He's the one that's put this roster together. The roster obviously needs some work, but you can't change all the players, so you got to change something. And to me, that is Andrew Brunette. I have no doubt Andrew Brunette is a good coach and would get another job. But I just don't feel like it's fitting with this team. So when, you know, did you get a sense of if that might happen, when that might happen, and who his replacement might be?
Well, the only sense I get is that they really have a focus on this month. And so, you know, they get this hopefully soul-cleansing trip to Sweden. A lot of them were talking about how they were looking forward to that. It had let's go see YouTube at the Sphere vibes. Maybe,
yeah.
Hoping that things can turn around. But then beyond that, I don't know. And so to answer your question, like, one of the reasons why we all assume Brunette wasn't fired coming into this season is because he's got term on his contract. And, you know, obviously when we start talking about coaches in Nashville and what the next step would be, I think a lot of us on the outside looking in are like, okay, so you're going to be paying a guy not to coach. Hey, there's a guy you're paying to be the GM who knows how to coach. Wouldn't it make sense for him just to go behind the bench for the rest of the season? And so that's the discussion happening outside of Nashville. I have no idea if that's happening inside of Nashville with regard to the Predators, but it's hard to imagine somebody coming in that A, would want this gig right now, considering how ill the pieces are fitting, and then B, someone who can come in and make a huge difference in with this roster currently constructed.
My sense is that he does not want to do that.
I agree.
And I don't think that they would make him do it if he doesn't want to do it. That's the sense I get. I think if they did anything, it would be Carl Taylor, who's with Milwaukee, just elevating him because so many of the, you know, the young players are coming up and he's coached them, that would be the sense they would go. The other two is, and I think you and I have talked about this before, I think there is a massive sense of loyalty, which to an extent I respect. David Poile was extremely patient and loyal with Barry Trotz, albeit a different situation. The expansion years then were very different than they are now. But even when they started winning, I think David Poile showed a lot of patience to Barry Trotz, and it ultimately worked, you know, one way or the other, it did. Trotz, I think, has done the same to Brunette, almost to a fault. That's kind of the sense that I get.
So the Taylor move is interesting only because it could serve two purposes. One, hoping that another voice behind the bench can kind of reinvigorate this team. And then two, you know, kind of gracefully transitioning to someone who maybe has a better handle on some of the younger players on this team because they've come through the system, and then kind of nodding to the fact that it could be a longer-term situation here insofar as rebuilding. So that move would intrigue me. And it's worked out before. I mean, Bruce Cassidy in Boston was the guy coming up from the AHL to fortify the young players in the roster. Bruce Boudreau, when he was hired by the Capitals, was hired from Hershey to come up and coach the younger players in the roster. In both those cases, it paid off handsomely. But ultimately, you know, the loyalty thing could be a factor of it. But the other factor of it, too, is that if they do look at this team after November and they do decide this is unsalvageable and that we have to start moving some of these veteran guys on the roster, then you might as well just keep Brunette around because it's a lost season then. You know what I mean? So I think that's anytime a team is on the precipice like Nashville is between trying to make a dramatic move to be relevant this season or trying to raise the white flag, I think that's part of the math is maybe we should just keep this guy around to the end of the season and not pay him and not pay him not to coach.
Greg Wyshynski's on the Chase and McJoe show. Greg, I know one game doesn't say a lot about a team through 82 games, but you saw the Preds play the night. Any takeaway from that, or is this one game not a good enough example to see what they're good and bad at and all that goes with it?
Well, the two things are, first of all, they ran into a Rangers team that's really figuring itself out right now, so they kind of caught them at the wrong time. The Rangers have been terrible at home. They're starting to get better at home. All of their underlying numbers were pointing to them being better than they were in the standings, and Nashville just happened to meet them at a time when guys like Alexei Lafreniere and Will Cooley and Artemi Panarin are all starting to put points on the board. So it wasn't the right time to play the Rangers. The other thing, too, is I noticed who wasn't there, in particular the best defenseman on the team, Roman Josi. I actually talked to him yesterday because his watch company is now the official luxury watch partner of the NHL, which is kind of a cool thing. Both him and Sidney Crosby are investors in this watch company, and now it's like officially the official like luxury watch of the NHL. So I spoke to him about when he's coming back. He says hopefully soon. He thinks things are trending in the right direction, and he doesn't expect it to be too much longer. But also just about how hard it is to be on the sidelines watching this team struggle and hoping to get back in and hoping to make a difference and knowing how hard it's been mentally for his teammates to have to go through basically the same thing two straight seasons with the kind of start that they had last year and the kind of start that they have this year.
Yeah, I mean, Josi's so beloved here in our city, Greg. I mean, that's just something you need him on the ice as much as you can. All right, we got to bring up the white elephant in the room, the UC Soros, the rumors of maybe trading him out of here. I think it was a terrible contract. I think you signed him for way too long, and the results are not there. And now you hear, you know, he may be speculation traded. I think it'd be a great thing for the Predators. What do I know? Right?
First of all, the hardest part of the UC Soros contract is looking over across the country at San Jose and seeing Askarov playing as well as he has, which is kind of be uncomfortable. Considering that he was the goalie of the future at one point. The good news for Nashville is that of all the things that are malfunctioning, Soros isn't one of them. And so if you think about where his trade value was last season versus what his trade value is now, I would have to say that it's improved. There are certainly teams in this league that could use a dramatic upgrading goal, looking at the two-time Western Conference champion Edmonton Oilers as one example. But, you know, the other part of it, too, though, is that if you are convinced that this could be a shorter turnaround back to contention for Nashville than maybe, you know, could be expected if you're Barry Trotz, then you have the goalie that you want. And so finding a goalie in this league is hard. If they're happy with him, you could see a situation where he's the constant while other things on the roster change. But if they're looking to move him, I mean, the good news is that he's showing he's still got it so far this season.
I mean, I feel like Edmonton would be the perfect spot for him. I mean, they're just that to me. That's been what they've missed the last couple of years.
Yeah, and then it becomes a situation of like what is coming back the other way because that was part of the consideration for Connor McDavid when he signed that 2-year extension up there is, you know, what's in the system? What do we have asset wise? What can we do to improve this team? And he only took a 2-year contract because they don't have a lot. I mean, they don't have a robust farm system. They don't have a ton of draft picks and draft capital. So it would also have to be a situation where the Predators are happy with what's coming back the other way because I think they're definitely dealing from a position of strength with UC Soros. But you're right. I mean, when you think about Edmonton and you think about the Achilles heel for that team, I mean, my God, they covered the Stanley Cup final last year and they didn't know who their starter was going to be in an elimination game. I mean, that is embarrassing. Then upgrading to someone like Saros would be a pretty obvious move.
What do you think of the next two games, this matchup in Sweden? Pittsburgh third in the Metro right now, and obviously we know where the Predators are. It seems like the Penguins that everybody thought weren't going to be great, at least in the early part of the season, have proven a few folks wrong.
They have. They're running into a little bit of injury trouble right now, so we'll see how they react to that. But they have a new coach, Dan Muse. It's kind of funny. Mike Sullivan went over to the Rangers. Dan Muse, you guys know, came over from the Rangers over to Pittsburgh. At the time, wasn't seen as a real significant hire, but I think he's shown himself to be a pretty good coach so far and getting the depth on that team to play really well. Malkin looked like he found the fountain of youth, I think, or he's in a contract year, which he is. So he's playing out of his mind right now. Crosby's playing good. Eric Karlsson's playing well. They're getting decent goaltending. They've really been one of the bigger surprises, I think, in the league so far, and a bit of a bummer for someone like me, because I wanted them to be terrible so we could start manufacturing Sidney Crosby trade rumors. But as long as they're good and in contention, I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
Greg, Chase is going to take a screenshot of the standings where New Jersey is number one, and we're going to title it "If the Playoffs Started Today." That way you got some hope, because your Devils are doing pretty well.
Oh, they look good. They look real good. You know, their offense is churning to the point like it was a couple of years ago, where they don't feel like they're ever out of the game, even if, you know, Markstrom gives up a softie or the defense fails. Like, they just have so many guys right now that can play the offensive hero. Still a little concerned about them defensively at times. Always worried about the health of Jack Hughes. That guy's, you know, I think Steven Tyler once used the phrase "tap dancing on a landmine." That's how it feels when you watch Jack Hughes play, because you're just afraid that kid's going to get hurt and all of a sudden the season's going to get derailed. You know, they look real good. And I think that as long as the goaltending holds and the young players keep trending and guys like Dawson Mercer have incredible bounce back seasons, they're a real contender in the East. They've been really impressive so far.
Like a true New Jersey fan, you just can't celebrate for one day, can you? Not just for
That's
one day.
That's a Jets fan.
They teach cynicism in kindergarten here in New Jersey. So, I mean, it's not like I don't know where it came from. But, you know, you got to remember, boys, there's also the New York Jets of it all, where my sports fandom is caked in cynicism to the point where I'm convinced now that they've declared they're in a rebuild, that they'll just keep winning games. Like, they're going to obviously beat the Patriots tonight and go on a three-game heater the minute they decide to rebuild, which is very Jetsy of them.
That's what we talked about at the top of the show. I was like, look, New England should win this game going away, but watch the Jets win. It's a very Jets thing to have happen.
Yeah, when they're going to tank to try to get that kid out of Indiana, the quarterback, but now they'll finish, like, you know, 7-10. It's nonsense.
Yep, there you go. Greg, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime.
Greg Wyshynski joining us here on the program, presented by Old National Bank. Get old as he joins us every Thursday at 2 o'clock. We'll react to some of those things in regards to the Predators. Coming up next, live from Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, it's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.